Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share this message with you I've entitled, But for a Moment. These words are taken from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. Paul describes our entire life on this earth as a moment in comparison to all of eternity. He is saying that the challenges we face here are only light afflictions, and according to Jesus, they are sent to render God's word ineffective in our lives. Hold on to God's word in the midst of trouble and remember it is but for a moment. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our redemption. We thank you for delivering us out of the hands of the enemy. Glory to God. We are more than conquerors in you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're so thankful and grateful for the victory that we have in you, Lord. This evening, as we study your word, we pray, Heavenly Father, for revelation knowledge. We pray that the Holy Ghost will teach us, show us things that we didn't see before. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the word that you've given me, and I believe that it's coming across with clarity in Jesus' name. Amen. So here recently, we have been looking at the narrow gate, the straight gate, and the narrow path, and the broad gate, and the wide path. And it's very interesting to me when I see the way the world is going, see the direction that the people in the world seem to all be going in this wide, broad path. And then you have Christians that are that have gone through this straight gate, and they're walking in this narrow path. And it's, you know, there's pressure that comes against us just simply walking in this direction. And, you know, the picture that comes to my mind is one we're all familiar with. When you think about the salmon are, when they are going back to their nesting, they go upstream. They go against the current. And that's what God expects out of each and every one of us who make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, that we are going to go against the current, that there is going to be pressure that is going to come against us, and it's just there. It's trying to stop us. It's trying to press us into the mold of the world. And, you know, another thought that comes to mind to illustrate this would be if you're at the ocean, and we used to live in Florida, and we'd go down over to the ocean, and you'd step out into the ocean, and if you're not careful, there is an undercurrent. So whenever the wave comes in, if you're standing in the water, when that wave begins to go out again, that undertow or that undercurrent can carry you right back out, right out to the ocean. And it's, you don't really see it. You see the water, but you don't recognize that there is an undercurrent until the next thing you know, your feet are coming out from underneath of you, and you're going out into the water, out into the deeper water with that current. And for us living in this world as Christians, we have to recognize that there is an undercurrent trying to pull us into the direction that the rest of the world is going in, trying to get us to be conformed to this world. And a verse that we've been looking at as we've been studying this has been in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul tells us by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to not be conformed to this world. And yet there is this undercurrent that is constantly there, whether you recognize it or not. It is a constant flow, undercurrent, trying to pull us in the direction that the rest of the world's going in, trying to get us to conform to this world, to the way this world thinks, to the standards that the people of this world live by. Those standards are not standards of a born-again child of God and the standards of the kingdom of God. The standards of this world are much different than the standards of the kingdom of God. And we have to recognize that this undercurrent, this undertow, is trying to pull us constantly in that direction of the way that the rest of the world is going down this wide path. And I don't want to go down that path, and I know you don't either, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle to live the way we know God wants us to live. Now, as I say that, the thought that comes to mind is we're not trying to earn our way into heaven. That's not the point. Okay, then that's something that I think a lot of people don't understand. You're not trying to earn anything through your actions or the way that you live. We go to heaven because we've made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. But what other people on the other side of the road, what they don't seem to understand is, as believers, when you step through this straight door and you're on this narrow path, it is going to affect the way that you live. It isn't that you're trying to earn something through your actions in order to go to heaven. You're not trying to earn anything. We can't earn anything. It's by grace that we're saved through faith, not our works, lest any man should boast. It's not by our actions. It's not by what we do. But that doesn't mean that once we step through that door that our actions and the way we live is not going to be affected, because it is. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to not look like the rest of the world. We're not supposed to be conformed to this world. Let's look at that verse one more time. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And the reason why it's so important that we understand these verses, dealing with how our life is supposed to look after we get born again, is because I see a trend in the body of Christ. A trend of teaching that seems to give Christians the impression that how they live after they get born again doesn't really matter. And that's not the case at all. It's just not the case. How you live after you get born again is depicted in this illustration Jesus gave us in Matthew 7 by a narrow path. And there's pressure being applied against us as we walk in this narrow path. And it's different. It's supposed to look different. It is different than the wide path that the rest of the world is walking on. And so, as I was saying that Christians right now in this, in this time period, they seem to be looking for verses that give them the green light to live however they want to live, and to justify it by saying, I'm saved by grace, and my actions don't matter. No, your actions do matter. You are saved by grace. You're not trying to earn your way to heaven. But once you step through that straight gate and you're on the narrow path, walking on that narrow path is going to cause your life to look differently than those walking on the broad path that's gone through the wide gate. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. It's supposed to, our life is supposed to look different. So here in Romans 12, verse 1, here's how Paul said it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, verse 2, conformed to this world. That right there, I could teach you for an hour on just those few words of not being conformed to this world. When we came to know Jesus, no matter how old you were, you had your life being influenced by this world, whether you were a teenager when you came to the Lord, even if you're 10 years old, 9 years old, you had been influenced by the world. And even after you got born again, you're still being influenced by the world. And here we're seeing Paul tell us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, once we pass through that doorway, the born-again experience, in other words, passing through that doorway is the born-again experience. Once we pass through that doorway, we still live in this world. And so this world is still having an influence on us. And if in order for us to not be conformed to it, even though we're living in it and we're having to deal with living in this world, in order not to conform to it, we have to do something. We have to go through a process of transformation by the renewing of our mind. And what do you renew your mind with? The Word of God. So, this week as I was, after having taught in last week's message about what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7, and I guess before I go further, we should go over there and look at that. Matthew 7, Jesus' teaching here is telling us in verse 13, enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. All right, so we see that there are two gates. There is the wide gate, and there is the straight gate. Now, the straight, great gate, another word would be narrow gate. So, but we'll just call it straight. So you have the wide gate, and you have the straight gate. So you have these two different gates. If you go through the wide gate, the path that you're going to be on is broad. There's a lot of people on that. The world is on that path. They have they've entered in. They're walking the path that leads to what? It says here it leads to destruction. The end of verse 13, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that findeth it. Few. Boy, we see these words, and I don't think we really appreciate what he's saying. Few. How many is few? Well, when you look at the ones on the path to destruction and it says many, and then you'll look at the ones that are on the narrow path and it says few, I'm thinking percentage-wise, we're at a very low percentage of people walking on this path. And think about that in your daily life. How many people are you coming across that are on that wide path? And you are on the narrow. And so, as a person walking on the narrow path, there's pressure that's against you constantly to what? Conform to this world, the way the world thinks, the way the world acts. And Jesus has told us through Paul that we're not to be conformed, but to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. So this week, after having taught the message previously, we're looking at these verses, and let me read verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. So I've got this going on inside of me, these two gates. You've got the way that you walk in after you pass through those gates. You have broad and you have narrow. So I'm looking up these words, trying to really get a handle on what Jesus is saying here. And the word narrow, very interesting word. If you look it up in the Greek, you see that there's a Strong's concordance number that goes with it. It's 2346, and it's a verb. Think about that. That really struck me that the word narrow in this application is a verb, and a verb is action, as an action word. Nouns are objects, but verbs talk, it's an action. And so that's talking about the pressure, the pressing against us as we go down this path. This is the pressing trying to get us off of the path and into the way that everyone else is going in to be conformed to the world. And so I'm going to read the rest of the definition here. To suffer affliction, notice this, to be troubled has reference to suffering due to pressure of circumstances. Suffering due to pressure of circumstances. Wow, what a picture that paints. And so we're heading in this direction, and there's pressure against us. We find ourselves in circumstances where there's, and it could be anything. From one day to the next, we deal with these things that are pressing against us. From one situation over here at work to another situation over here in your family to another situation over here. And they're all trying to press against us. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get us off of the path that we're walking on and trying to get us to answer the problems that we're being pressed upon with solutions that the rest of the world use, the rest of the world depend on those solutions. It's trying to get us to conform to the way they think, the way they live, the way they act, the way they respond, instead of the transformation process that takes place. And how does it take place? This is so important. By the renewing of the Word of God, by taking in God's Word. So this week, as I'm thinking about these things, I get up one morning and the Holy Ghost has me turn to Mark chapter 4. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is the parable of what? Of the sower. And what is the sower sowing? The Word of God. And, you know, as I read through the parable, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost can teach you. It really is. When the Holy Ghost is your teacher, you know things as they come together. What you're getting when it's the Holy Ghost is the mind of Christ. You're getting His way of thinking, His way of looking, and He's wanting to get this over to you so that you can see it the way He intended for you to see it in His Word. So I'm reading through the parable, and you know they have the different types of soil. You know, you have each one of them is having the seed sown. You know, some of it is the wayside ground where the seed was sown, and it just sits right there on top, and the fowls of the air come and they devour the word and didn't produce anything. Then you have the one that has the stones in it and not much earth, and that's the one we want to look at right here, because when Jesus gave the explanation of the parable, there's two words there that He used to describe what that soil is depicting that has the stones. All right. So first, let's just look at that particular example in the parable in verse 5. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up. That's the seed sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. So it withered. It didn't produce any fruit. There was no the time period for that plant to grow and develop and produce fruit. You know, it didn't have that opportunity because there was no root in it. It wasn't able to draw moisture, and it only lasted a short time till it got scorched and it was gone. So then you look over at the explanation. Jesus explains this parable. He tells the disciples, when the disciples ask Him about what does this mean, He tells them, you cannot understand all of the other parables unless you understand this parable, this one. It's like, this is like the cornerstone of parables, because you have to be able to understand this in order to understand all the other ones. So in verse 17, well, let's just start in 14. This is where He's given the explanation. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So in that one, that's the wayside ground, Satan comes immediately and takes away that seed of the word of God before it has opportunity to germinate, to take root, to produce. Satan has come and taken it away. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when... Now look at these two words. This is what the Holy Ghost had brought me to the other day. In the light of what He had been showing me out of Matthew 7, talking about the pressure coming against us, the pressure as we have stepped through the straight gate and walking in the narrow way, and this pressure that is against us, in the light of that, here He brings me to these words, all right? They have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction, that word right there, or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. All right. Why did the affliction and persecution arise? For the sake of the word. Its intent was to stop the word from producing. So let's look at that word, affliction. Now remember, when we looked at the word in Matthew 7, talking about straight is the gate and narrow, the word narrow was 2346 in the Greek, in the Strong's Concordance. All right. This word right here, affliction, is 2347. It's the very next word. In the Strong's Concordance, you have 2346 and then 2347. And now listen to the definition of this word. Meaning, it means a pressing or pressure, anything which burdens the spirit. That's affliction. So going back to Matthew chapter 7, and looking at the word that's used there for narrow, it is to be troubled, has reference to suffering due to pressure. So you have pressure in that word, on the narrow path, there's pressure, and here it's talking about pressing or pressure, and it's the very next word, and that's important. It's important that you realize the similarity, that how closely these two words are, and how Jesus used it in Matthew 7, describing this way that we're walking in. This way has pressure against us, and then Jesus in Mark 4, when he's talking about the different kind of soil, and he's talking about the stony ground, and he says there's affliction, and he uses this word 2347, and uses it, and it's pressing. See, when you're on the path, the narrow path, there's pressure. Jesus is telling us that there's a pressure that comes for the sake of the word. So we're walking in this path, we're having pressure that comes against us, trying to get us to conform to this world. Paul tells us in Romans 12 not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're renewing our mind with what? The word of God. Jesus tells us here that the word comes in, we receive that seed, but then there's this affliction that comes for the sake of what? The word. This pressing. So what are you saying, Mark? What I'm saying is that what Jesus is telling us here is that when we step through this straight gate, and we are told to walk, that we're to walk in this narrow way where there's pressure against us. This pressure that's being applied to us is being applied for the sake of the word, trying to get us to do what? Turn loose of it. Turn loose of the word so it doesn't produce in our life. In order for us to be successful in our life, there is only one way that we are going to be successful as believers in this world, and it is through the Word of God producing in our life and not turning loose of it, realizing that the pressures that we're facing, and there is simply pressure because we're walking on this path. That pressure is being applied for the sake of the Word of God. The enemy is after that Word, trying to keep it from producing in our life. Affliction comes, and it can come in Oh my goodness. A variety of different ways. And it's coming for the sake of that seed of the Word of God to try and render it unproductive, to render it useless on the inside of us. And so what's the answer? What are we going to do in order to keep that from happening, in order to keep from conforming to this world? The only way that I know is to continue to put the seed of God's Word on the inside of us, to continue to allow it to roll around inside of us, to meditate on it, to think about it, to envision what this Word is saying to us. And in doing this, we are being transformed in the way we think, in the way that we're responding to situations, and as a result, little by little, that conforming to this world, we're being less and less conformed to this world and more transformed because of the Word of God going inside of us. A metamorphosis taking place. You know, it's like, if you can imagine, it's kind of like the scales, you know, these scales of justice. Like you see that the lady with the blindfold holding the scales up. The more that we feed ourselves on the Word of God, meditate on the Word, the more that these scales are beginning to tip in our favor. In other words, the spirit man is being strengthened. The spirit man is being able to withstand and no longer are we thinking and acting and responding the way the world says to think and act and respond. As long as we continue to live and act and respond the way the world does, we can only get the results that they have. And theirs is limited. It's limited to only what they can do in this natural world. I don't want to be limited. I don't want to have simply the limitations of this world. I want the unlimited. I want access to the unlimited, and that's only through God's Word. Only through God's Word. So, here we're seeing that these afflictions that's talked about by Jesus in Mark chapter 4, where he's talking about the seed that has been sown on the stony ground, looking at verse 17, they have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Do they produce anything? No. It does not have the opportunity to produce fruit. Their people are offended. They turn loose of the word. And I'll tell you, that's one challenge that I have faced in different times in my life, turning loose of the word. You know, you're dealing with this problem, whatever it is. Let's just say it's sickness. Let's say you're dealing with symptoms and you're speaking the Word of God, you're meditating the Word of God, you're looking at it, you speak to the mountain to be removed and cast into the sea. And do the symptoms immediately leave? Well, let's just say that they hang around. They don't immediately leave. So you're dealing with the circumstances in this natural world trying to tell you that the Word of God is not producing. And yet, what we have to do is to continue to meditate on that Word, no matter how the natural looks, no matter how convincing it may be that nothing's happening. You see, that's where I believe that most Christians struggle, and most Christians, I truly believe that they turn loose of the answer just before that plant has the opportunity to come forth and bring forth fruit. They turn loose. They give up. They go the way of the world instead of holding on, instead of continuing to be what? Thankful. Praise God for the answer. Praise God. I tell you that in the midst of the affliction and the persecution, you know, when the pressure is against you and you want to quit, I mean, let's just lay it right out there. You want to quit. What do you do? You know, it's easy to say, well, just keep reading the Word. It's easy to say that. It's easy to, you know, but when you're in the middle of it and everything seems to be stacked up against you, your emotions are just going haywire and all you can see is defeat, now what do you do? Because there has to be something that we can do. And I'm telling you, thankfulness, being thankful as an act of worship, if you can just thank God for the answer and continue to worship Him and get your focus of attention off of the situation, off of you, and on to Jesus. You have a fighting chance. As long as you're looking at you and the situation and the circumstances, I don't think you're going to hold on. You have to get your attention off yourself. You have to get your attention on Jesus. Stay, throw up your hands, close your eyes, and thank Him and worship Him. Thank Him for the answer. Whatever that is, whatever you're being tormented with, thank Jesus for the answer. I thank you, Jesus. If you are being tormented with financial lack, if you have more bills than you have money and you don't know what to do, and you have looked at the Word and you have made your confession, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you continue to say it and say it, raise your hands, worship the Lord, dance around your house and thank Him for being your answer. Thank Him for being your source. God, You're my source. Father God, You're the source of my supply. Hallelujah. I am above. I am not beneath. I am the head. I am not the tail. Glory to God. Mark, have you ever had to do this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Is it easy? No. It's not. But something happens on the inside of you when you do it. There is a strength that comes from the inside. When you get your mind off yourself, when you get your focus of attention on Jesus, the pressure can still be there, but it seems like there's this, I don't know how to describe it, it's like this wall that's around your heart when you're worshiping the Lord that keeps this just out on the other side of that wall. That pressure is there, but it's not affecting you. See, and that's where the freedom is. You know, Jesus didn't say you'll never have any problems. No, He said we're going to have problems. In this life, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be affliction. Things are going to happen to us, trying to steal the Word of God. And it's up to us, not Him, to continue to keep our heart in a place where that Word can produce. Because that's what it's all about. It's the word producing. The answer is the word producing. He's already done everything. He's done it all. What we need is for Mark chapter 4 to become so real to us, to understand that everything's accomplished. All I have to do is believe. And see, let's look at some more of Mark 4 here. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. It's choked because those things have entered in. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering into the person's heart. How does it enter into their heart? Because they're focused on it. They're thinking about it. They're meditating on the cares of this world. They're meditating on the deceitfulness of riches. If I just had more money, all of my problems would be solved. That's what they think. The lust of other things. This has entered into their heart, and it has rendered the word of God unproductive. Their focus of attention is no longer on Jesus. It's on these things instead of Him. And whenever the focus of our attention shifts away from Jesus, it affects the Word on the inside of us. It's going to render it ineffective because we are allowing these other things into our heart, and the word is not going to produce. Now, look at the rest of this. Verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Even in a situation where the person hears it and receives it and is able to produce, it does not always produce a hundredfold. Is the potential there? Every time. The potential is always there for the seed to produce a hundredfold in every person, every time. But even in good ground where the seed is received, even in that situation, there's still cases where a person only receives 30-fold. There's still cases where a person only receives 60-fold. But there are those times when a person does receive 100-fold. That's what we're shooting for. That's the objective. Is praise God, somebody got 30-fold. But there was still 70-fold that they could have had access to. Thank God the person got 60, but there's still 40 the person had access to. And yet, for some reason, they were unable to obtain that 100-fold. The 100-fold's there. It's there for us. And we have to remain diligent. Remain focused on what? On the Word of God and on Jesus, and not on the circumstances, not on the affliction and on the persecution and on all these things that are heading our direction, trying to get to the Word, trying to render the Word unproductive in us. How does it do it? Because we shift our attention away from the Word, away from Jesus, and on to the circumstances, on to the things, the affliction, and on to the persecution. We're looking at those things. We're focused on that instead of on the Word of God and worshiping Jesus and thanking Him that the Word is producing the results that it says belongs to us. Amen? Now let's look. We got a few minutes left here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Want to take a look at what the Apostle Paul said about this. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing here, and he's talking about some of the same thing that I've been sharing here tonight. Let me start reading here in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have denounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let's go back to the sower sows the word. These are the wayside people, where the word is sown, but it hits the ground, and the ground is hard, and it doesn't produce, and Satan steals that seed. All right, here's what Paul's saying about it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, the light has shined. The light has shined here. When I have believed the light of the life of God in my reborn human spirit, that it came alive in me and in you and in every person that's born again, that we're able to receive and comprehend and understand the word of God. Hold your place there. Let me just show you how Jesus referred to this back in Mark 4. Here's what he said. He said, is a candle, verse 21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but it shall not come abroad. So this candle that he's talking about here, the candle is your reborn human spirit that has been lit with the life of God, enabling you now to receive from God's word. We have the ability to comprehend what God is saying to us through his word. Let's go back here in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now let me draw your attention to verse 8. We are troubled. That word troubled is 2346. It's the same word that is used to describe the path you walk on when you go through the straight gate, narrow. That's the word, 2346, narrow. And here it's, we are troubled. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why are we troubled? We've walked through the straight gate. We're on the path where pressure is being applied to us. This is the whole life of a believer. There's pressure applied, and there's a responsibility that we have to continue to feed ourselves with God's word. As newborn babes, Peter said, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We have to continue to feed ourselves with the word of God. And here he's talking about trouble. We're troubled on every side. Paul writing this is saying we're troubled on every side. On this path, going through this straight gate, there's pressure applied to us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What is he saying here? And why is there this trouble. He's saying that the life of the believer isn't just this life of going down this wide or this broad path leading to destruction where everybody's going down. It's effortless. You just go on this path with everybody else, and where does it lead to destruction? Well, I don't want to go that way. I want to go the way that God has set for me to go when I walk through this straight gate. Well, Mark, going through that straight gate means that there's pressure, that you're going to be troubled on every side, yet not distressed, persecuted. There's persecution that's going to happen. Well, I don't necessarily like that. Well, I don't like it, and I don't like it when it happens. But it is going to happen if you have any kind of desire to walk the way that Jesus wants you to walk. If you're going to have any success as a believer, if you're going to take God's word and apply it to your life and see the results, there's pressure, there's trouble, there's persecution, there's affliction, and it's coming for what sake? For the word. To get the word out of you. So it won't produce. Because that seed of the word of God will produce 100-fold every single time. Every time that it's given the opportunity, it will produce. And the enemy is, he is bound to come after the word. You say, well, why do I have all this affliction and persecution in my life? Well, have you been studying the word? Well, yes. It's coming for the sake of the word. That's why it's there. That's why it's happening. Well, I'll just stop reading the word. That's not the answer. Well, will it keep the affliction and persecution from coming against you? Yeah, but you're going to find yourself going in the path that everybody else walks on. You're not going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind if you stop putting the word in. You're going to be conformed to this world. You're going to follow in that path that everybody else is walking in that leads to destruction. I don't want to go that way. I want to go the way that God has for me to go. And it's going to have pressure because I'm going to be putting God's word inside of me, and the enemy is obligated to come after that word. And when he comes after it, he comes after it with afflictions and persecutions. He comes after it with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choking the word. So this is what we're dealing with. You can either just lay down and give up. Say, I can't do this. I can't handle this pressure. I can't. You're either going to do that or you're going to just, as I heard one preacher say, take your thumb out of your mouth and grow up and put the word of God in your heart and thank him and worship him when the pressure is, it builds to just where you just about can't stand it. Just worship Jesus and thank Jesus and think about the fact that we're only here for a fraction of our total existence, because we're going to exist for eternity. So our time here on this earth is only it's just a speck on all of eternity. We can handle this. We can do this with God's help. We can do this. I want to draw your attention to one other thing in chapter 4. So we pointed out we are troubled, and that's the same word talking about the narrow, going through on the narrow path. It's the same word that's used there. If we go a little further in this chapter, look at verse 17. For our light affliction. Now that word affliction is 2347. Okay, that's the next word. 2346 is the word that's used defining narrow, and it's the word here used troubled All right, 2347 is the very next word in the Strong's, and it is for our light affliction. And it again, it's the definition is just almost exactly the same as the other word, 2346. So let me read this. For our verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's what I'm talking about. It's a moment. This pressure pressing against us, it is only for a moment. When you look at all of eternity, what we're dealing with right here, this pressure trying to get us to turn loose of God's word, trying to render it ineffective in our life, this is only for a moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. For our light affliction, verse 17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Hey, we can walk through this life. We can make it. We can succeed in Jesus, in His Word, with our focus of attention being on Him and not on the affliction and the persecution, not on the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, because all those things are going to render God's word unproductive in our life. If we focus on that, we've got to remain focused on Jesus, focus on His word, worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the victory. And remember, it's only for a moment. Our life is but a breath, Paul said. We're here 1 second, we're gone the next, and we're going to exist forever, eternity. We're going to spend with Jesus, and the fruit of our life, the way we spent it on this planet serving Jesus, the fruit of that we're going to be able to enjoy for all eternity. What we did, the decisions we made, how we lived here, the fruit of that, we're going to enjoy it for eternity. We only have this opportunity once. You're only going through this life one time. And when the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, we're going to see the feel the impact of those decisions throughout all of eternity. Because if you know, we see where the word talks about the rewards, those rewards, we're going to reap the benefit of those for eternity. And those are a direct correlation to how the decisions that we made here on this earth now, how we lived our lives, what choices we made. Did we live life for ourselves? Was it all about me and mine and my four, no more? Was it all about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things? Did our life look like the rest of the world heading down the broad path through the wide gate? Or were we transforming ourselves through the renewing of our mind with the Word of God, holding on to His Word? Which one was it? How did we live? Because that's what we're going to stand accountable for with Jesus. Hallelujah. I encourage you today, make a decision. I'm going to live my life for Jesus according to His Word. I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I believe that every person that's hearing this, I believe, Father, that they are making a decision right now that they aren't going to be conformed to this world, but they're going to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And I pray, Father, for your grace to be poured out in their life, to empower them, Father. Empower them to be able to maintain this decision that they're making, to follow through with it, not to give up, not to lay down and just go the way of the world. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for your anointing, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost, enabling people to make this decision and follow through with it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.